I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
Hello and welcome to KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and our special guest for today, Joshua Jorgensen, here in the show. We've got a good show for you today. We got volleyball to talk about, golf, and football for the A&M Commerce Lions. Then we're going to talk quite a lot other stuff today, including whether or not refs should be called out for blown calls by their own leagues. Then we're going to talk a little bit of the Oklahoma State controversy, finish off with the NFL, and talk big college football games that are coming up this weekend. So first, guys, look at the lines. That's what's going on today. And Josh, I wanted to start off with a team that we don't talk about nearly enough, volleyball.
Sure.
First, Jordan Neal was named LSC Co-Setter of the Week. And yeah. Just tell us what all is going on with volleyball overall.
Volleyball had an amazing weekend to start their season. They were on the road, but went to a tournament and came back with a lot of wins and no losses, which is always good. We had our first home volleyball match last night against Dallas Baptist. They weren't quite able to pull out the win there. Dallas Baptist came in with some firepower. I don't know if you were able to make it.
I was there, yes.
Man, they could hit.
Very, very good squad, Dallas Baptist. Yeah.
Very athletic.
Surprised.
And, I don't know if any of those girls play on their basketball team, but Some of them probably should. They were, and Coach knew it coming in. You know, we talked to him pregame, and he said this will be a tough one. Anyway, we look at it, you know, he goes, I'm not going to count this as a win, just because you never want to, you know, assume anything.
Yes.
But he knew that they were going to be tough, and they came out firing on all cylinders, and our girls, they were just this close. I think if they could have pulled off that first set.
First win kind of blew that towards the end a little bit, and we were up. But, you know, I think like Josh said, if we would have been able to pull that out, I think things would have been a little different.
I think they would have been in pretty good shape. But either way, they've still got a good start of the season going on, and they'll be back here. I know they're traveling this weekend, but they've got some tough games ahead of them. But it's early right now, you know. Obviously, Jordan's having a good season to start with, getting some conference recognition, which is always good. But I saw some firepower last night on our end.
Definitely.
And it always starts with the setter. You know, you got to have Jordan playing really well. If she puts the ball where it needs to be, I think we've got quite a few girls.
I think we have some great hitters. Yeah. And depth at the hitting position, too.
Yeah, there was across the board, you know, I was announcing last night, and I had to know all those girls' names because they were all coming in the match. And they were
exactly.
All, you know, it wasn't just the three in the front. I mean, everybody was hitting.
Yeah. I've had some experience doing some announcing for that game, for not that game, obviously, but the volleyball team. Sorry, we just woke up, folks. And I was amazed at just how good the team was even back 2 years ago, and I apparently was not enthusiastic enough for the team, so I never got to do it again. Because they really want some energy. So if you go to that game, expect to be really drawn in, to really be having a lot of fun there at the stadium.
Last night we had a lot of fun. It was the gold out, and there was quite a bit of gold in the stadium.
Quite a bit, yeah.
You know, one thing different that I changed up was on the on the west side, I only put the bleachers out a certain amount.
Yes, I noticed that.
And some people noticed, some people didn't. But what that does is it brings everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having everyone all spread out, you actually get more of an atmosphere by having them together.
I thought that was a great idea, and especially for the side that the students tend to sit on, you know, to kind of bring them all together, and it makes it a lot rowdier, a lot louder, I think. And there was a great atmosphere last night at the game. If you weren't there, come to the next one, because if it's the same kind of atmosphere or better, it's just a great place to be and a great place to be with your friends and just meet new people too.
Yeah.
Not only watch volleyball, but you know, support the school and I think last night was a great job of doing that.
With that new sound system in there, I think that helps. You know, setting the gym up a certain way and getting that support. I think as much as we talked about the buzz around football and everything, there's still a buzz around all of our sports right
now. I agree, yes.
And
for sure.
And that's awesome to see that many people out. I heard last year, you know, we had a good average for volleyball, but that was a really nice crowd last night, which I was very glad to see. There was a lot of students there, and that's what we're really trying to push. If we can get more students to all those events, we'll be better off.
Right. Well, we got another tournament coming up for them. It's this one is in Lubbock, and then they'll be at a game at Texas Women's in Denton. And then they finally got their second home game of the season. This one's against Henderson State. Now, the scheduling has been, I've seen a lot of tournaments and games all over the place. Is that just a normal volleyball thing, going to a lot of tournaments and then playing one or two home games to start the season and then really getting into the...
Yeah, for the most part, they're going to try to go get quite a few games under their belt.
Right.
Once they establish that, once they kind of see what they need to fix, what they need to do, you try to get them wins. You know, obviously, coaches, he's scheduled some tournaments with some tough competition.
Yes,
also,
definitely,
there is that fine line there. You don't want to go out there at the beginning of the
yes.
year and just get beat every single time. Even though you're playing some amazing teams, that confidence won't be there.
Yes.
And so that's where on a coach, everyone has their different philosophy, obviously, but. You know, they need to go get some wins, play some confidence builders, and then get some good competition, because once the conference season set gets going, it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. And that Texas women's one, that's going to be a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
And then even coming back against Henderson State, they're always tough. So they but they should have enough experience by then to know what everyone's capable of and really playing as a team.
Yeah. Well, we definitely look forward to it, and seeing more volleyball is always great here at AM Commerce. Let's talk about the golf team. We really don't talk nearly enough about them. First, a senior CJ Clem had a terrific tournament at the 2013 Newman Fall Invitational. He had a final round of 6 under 66. That is his career best in one round. The men's team finished fourth overall with great performances as well from Cade Grimm for 17th overall, and Marcus Santa finished 23rd. So what's going on with the men's golf team?
You know, the golf team, I think Louis had to make a few changes on there, mm-hmm. but they're really playing a lot better. One thing that I didn't realize until Louis was asking me about it, the golf season actually goes fall and spring. It's one humongous season.
Yes.
I'm used to just a spring golf, and that's all that actually counts. They'll play some tournaments here and there in the fall, but nothing that actually counts on there. But at our level, it actually does count. I think they've got five or six tournaments scheduled in the fall, and then they'll go into the spring, and then you go into the conference championships. But Louis's been doing a lot more with them. I think they're up there doing yoga at times. Mm. They're doing a lot of different things that you don't necessarily think about, but you hear it on the professional side. Oh, this guy's doing this weights.
And but you don't think about it at this level.
You don't. And
yeah.
A lot of times it's either the time you have. You know, you're limited on practice hours.
Yes.
You can't spend them doing certain things. You have
exactly.
to be building those skills. But he's doing a lot of different things with them and trying to make them better. And so far it's showing.
Yeah. I mean, career best for CJ Clem, who's a senior for us. And a lot of other great performances overall. I definitely see the improvement there.
The best thing about golf is it's not necessarily the competition you're playing. It's you go out there and you got to hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, it's not
you kind of play against yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing career best is that's really what matters when
yeah.
you're talking about golf.
There's improvement, and hopefully what that means is that over the summer they prepared themselves. They didn't just go home and sit around and not do anything. They went out and they honed their skills.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I mean, you have to do that if you
yes,
want to be successful.
Yeah. Well, the A&M Commerce women's team also finished fourth overall, but they were at a different tournament. They were at Hawks Creek Invitational. There, Chantry McMahon, excuse me, finished 11th overall, tied for 11th, shooting a 5 over 77. Zoe Danshfar, you're going to have to correct me on that one if I'm close enough.
Yeah, you're good.
finished 16th overall. And Chelsea McCoy finished 20th overall. So another good performance from the women's team as well. How about cross country? Is there any update on new coach there?
They are going. I don't know if you saw it on our website. We did announce that new coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's figuring out all of his assistants. He has met with the cross country teams and the track teams. The track team started practice also. Cross country's got a few meets coming up. I know they were scheduled to go out of state this weekend. I don't know if that's still the plan. I heard they might change that so okay. that they can actually take the team over to Dallas to watch the game at AT&T. And then also next day they're in Arlington or somewhere close so that they don't have to travel real far. So I'm not quite sure what coach has on that schedule. I know there's just with all the changes with the new coaching and, you know, Robert Reed's been helping us out quite a bit. Getting those guys running. I know when I get here in the morning, I usually get here pretty early. They're out there ready to run the streets and just putting in the miles, man. I just I was a track athlete, but I wasn't a cross country athlete. I don't know how you run that far, but it's not in my blood. But they look good. Yeah. They look like they're fast, and we'll find out when they start having their meets.
So tell us a little bit about the coach from what you know so far, coming from Angelo State.
Yeah, Coach Dibbern is part of he comes from a program that's been very successful. You know, and that's one thing that we're really looking for in coaching. You got to have the experience, obviously, in the state to know what you're looking for as far as athletes. You need to have that experience recruiting-wise. It's just as hard as it is to recruit against everyone nowadays, you need to have that experience. And then also, you know, you've seen it on that shirt. What's the number one goal? It's to win.
To win, exactly.
It's to win. Mm-hmm. So when we look at it, we want somebody who knows how to win. You know, certain people can probably coach the sport, but do they know how to win?
Exactly.
You know, are they going to instill that in the athletes? And I've talked to some of the track athletes just after yesterday's first practice, and they said, man, it's different. We are doing things that we've never done before. And part of that is because they're now competing indoor. So they have to get ready for that season. Their season's not going to start once it finally gets warm outside. No, they're starting indoor, so they got to be ready for that. Not everyone will probably do indoor, but the majority of the team will get some indoor experience, and that'll be something new and exciting for those kids. But, you know, Coach, he's intense. But if you look down his resume over there at Angelo, they've had one heck of a track program. And when we're able to do that, he can come in and make a pretty quick adjustment to everything we're doing. He knows the competition. He knows the conference. He knows the areas to recruit. So I think it'll be a smooth transition, and I'm excited. He's got a lot of energy, and he gets after it.
And you talk about knowing the conference, too. I mean, most of the people we've brought in, between Coach Carlton from West Texas A&M, Coach Brewster from Texas Women's, and you know, Coach Dibbern from Angelo State, we're bringing in people that know the conference. They know what they're getting themselves into. They're already ahead of the game. And I think that's really going to help, you know, in the end. And you also talked about us starting indoor. Is there any thought of all, like, getting an indoor facility here in the future? Or
I don't know. You know, they've got that master plan for that new sports center.
Yes.
How far down the road that is, it's hard to say. But if they are going to do it and do it right, they will put an indoor facility in there.
Great.
It's one of those things that we can make it adjustable. If done correctly, we can have it a 5,000-person area for graduations and those sorts of things. And maybe if the basketball team gets good enough, we'll draw that many. But
hopefully.
You know. But we can also shrink it down that we could do a 3,000-person area to make sure that if we do have a, you know, early season basketball game, that we've got a good crowd in there and it doesn't seem like a big
just
old
a giant hangar. Space. And you see that kind of in some Division I teams that aren't as good.
Yeah,
you'll see giant holes everywhere, and it doesn't seem like there's that big of a crowd. So
and it's part of the atmosphere, but if also done correctly, when you move some of those bleachers in, then possibly that's where the track is around it. So there's a lot of different designs for that, and I'm hoping so, because I think it could really help us out. And
so there is a way where we could have a gym that hosts basketball, volleyball, indoor track, and you can do ceremonies in it, and concerts, or whatever else you want to do in there.
If done correctly nowadays, there's no limits. You know, it just, that's probably going to cost a little more.
Right.
But
you kill all your birds.
In the long run, it's going to be better for everyone, you know, and you know, space becomes a premium. Obviously, you need locker rooms for all those people. Mm-hmm. You need the, you know, if we're going to put the weight room in there, if we're going to remodel Whitley and just keep it over there, or if football locker rooms are actually in there versus, you know, there's a lot of variables there. If we put suites along the side so that you can look out to the football stadium and into the basketball arena.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some different ideas floating around, but I couldn't quote you on exactly what the time frame is there.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah, it's hard to know with anything educational where the
where
budget's going to come from. Yeah, especially when we're in a system school getting money from A&M. Yep. Well, what about some other stuff for cross country? I know you mentioned Robert Reed. He was the interim head coach, for those of us that didn't know. What's his role going to be?
Just from what I've heard, Robert's obviously done a great job keeping the teams together.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped in where he didn't need to. That was volunteer. He's done a really good job for us, and we thank him. It's totally up to Tom Dibbern if he's going to keep Robert on staff. From what I've seen, what I've heard, I can tell you it sounds like he is. Just because I think Robert's a darn good cross country coach.
Yeah, I think a huge, valuable asset.
I think the guy really knows his stuff. So if you don't want to get rid of him. Because if you've got a chance to keep a really good coach on staff, let's do it.
And a great recruiter, too. I mean, a lot of the cross-country guys that have been brought in, that was Robert's doing.
As
Coach Schneider was worried about how are we going to make this team the best team it can be. So I think definitely, you know, we talk about Robert, a valuable asset and recruiter.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about recruiting.
Hopefully he can stay on board. We'd love to have him just because of the loyalty he's shown for us. But that is up to Coach Dibbern. He's got something in his mind to build his staff. Whether Robert's part of that or not, you know, that's up to all of them. But I really hope so.
All right. Well, let's move on a little bit more. We got football. Great game. First for the Lions on Saturday, a 51-6 win. Most points scored by a Lions team in a while. Great performance by Tyrick Rawlson. Maybe some more rushing would be a little bit better next game. You can't complain too much when it's a 51-6 win. There were a few hiccups on game day, and I know Ryan Ivey sent an apology out to everyone. Not that it wasn't a great game, but we had some instances of internet dropping out and the live stream not necessarily working every once in a while. But overall, great work for the football team and the game crew. I know the hype was there. There was more students and general people in the stadium than I think I've ever seen. So, great job overall. I think congratulations to everybody on the game day.
I think it was a great game day. And I think a lot of people just from, you know, being in the stands and being with all the students and making my way around and hearing what everyone had to say.
Yeah.
One point brought up was the between quarters, you know, the little activities or I guess games on the field.
Yeah.
And that was an addition that we saw that I think everybody really enjoyed.
Those are just, you know, easy game atmosphere things to us that we want to do. We want to keep, you know, because otherwise, yeah, you can play music, you can do PAs, you can do this. But to keep the crowd involved, to make that atmosphere as good as possible. You know, we've changed up tailgating. It sounded like tailgating went better.
It definitely did.
And hopefully that just keeps building. Everything we did, yes, there was some setbacks here and there, some problems, and we got to fix those. But hopefully all of that will keep us moving forward. And that's where we're lucky to have a couple weeks between games, because if you have back-to-back-to-back-to-back games,
Very tough.
You don't have time to look back and assess and make things better. That's part of sometimes the schedule that it's hard to get right, but we're able to change some things up. You know, we've got with the concessions guys, and we're really figuring some things out there to help. Tailgating wise, you know, in the game atmosphere, there's some things that I need to do better. Obviously, the wireless went down, but.
Was that just because too many people were logged
numbers,
on?
Sheer numbers. It's
that's
one
a
of
good
those
problem
things.
To have.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those that we talked with people, and I know the Sodexo people said, "How'd you do it? What do you mean, how we do it? How'd you guys get 4,000 people here? You know, well,
right.
Close to 4,000 people." We said, you know, we used every asset we had. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hold anything back. We put it. It's not one thing. We were on the locker room show. We had you guys out there tailgating. We had billboards up. We had game programs go out in the newspapers. We had, you know,
even the season tickets, I think, were promoted better this year.
Oh, yeah. You know, I in the past, they really didn't focus on season tickets, and we did, and we sold, you know.
Social media has expanded. I mean, there's so many, like you said, assets that you're using.
And they were there before. They just weren't quite used, and part of it was they didn't have the personnel to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you don't put those things in motion, you never know what you can get. So we really wanted to push everything out there that we could. We do still have some surprises. We've got some different things coming up that'll help with the atmosphere. But it went over really well. To tell you the truth, I was looking for more, but I'm always looking for more. If we get 7,000, I'm looking for 8,000. We get 8,000, I'm looking for 9,000.
So you talk about that. What's a realistic goal you think, or your goal for next game?
You know, part of it depends on the wins. Mm-hmm. Hey, if we can pull out this win against Delta State,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that we need to win the WT game. That's asking for a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that we will be very competitive up there.
Yes.
And, I wouldn't be surprised if we're in the position to win that game. I'm just saying I'm not going to expect it. So, people are going to still be on board. They're still going to see that we are competing hard. We're a very, very good team. And so that when that next home game comes around, I'd like to see that, you know, number get above 4,000, get up to 4,500, be pushing 5,000, you know, and then that next game we're at maybe that 6,000. And then, you know, according to my ticket system, I got 8,700 seats in that area, in that stadium.
On the whole stadium,
on
both
everything.
Sides.
Yeah, okay. Both sides. You know, I want homecoming sold out. Am I crazy?
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. But hey, look what we did the first game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? That's just game one.
Yeah. So, you know, but the student population was huge. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone told me, they don't stay around. They travel. They leave. Now, what all went into that? Student activities had things going on.
Yes.
You know, the block party was going on. So it took more than just us.
Mm-hmm.
It took everyone across campus promoting, staying on campus, having a good time. It's football weekend. Let's get after it. And that's where everything comes together, and we can make this a success.
Yeah. I think if you told anyone here on A&M Commerce's campus last year that there's going to be 4,000 students at a game, any game, even if UT had come to play here, I don't think maybe
it would have been all burnt orange.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we even still would have had 4,000 fans with the following they have. So I don't know. But definitely great job there. But we got a big challenge coming up in Delta State.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's our, you know, it's our biggest game that we've played in a while, but man, it's got to be close.
So, first of all, where is, for those people that don't know, where's Delta State at?
Mississippi.
Mississippi, okay.
Yep. They're from just east of here. They are perennially a very, very good football team, which doesn't need to scare us, but we better be ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
I know the coaches last week, you know, you mentioned the running game and that sort of thing. The coaches were going very basic. You know, they weren't going to show their whole hands of cards.
No, and they shouldn't up 51-6.
Yeah. You know, so I think we'll see a lot more in-depth from the offensive play calling, a lot more blitzes possibly, a lot more things that will help us be successful against Delta State. They know how to play, though. They've had those traditions. Those kids know how to win. And that was one thing that I really was hoping that we could get that first win so that those guys see that confidence. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Yeah.
You know, they just, and when you get used to losing, it can become a habit. So if we can create winning as a habit, those guys will be used to it. They're ready to roll each game and they're not afraid of anybody. But they're going to need to be ready. You know, Delta is a good one. And if we can pull that off, then we're turning some heads. People are like, hey, they might not be too bad over there.
They might be for real over there.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully that happens, and hopefully it's a big win, and Friday night we're all celebrating another, you know, hopefully Friday night we are celebrating having two wins.
Yeah.
Equals the last two seasons, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what, you know, that's progress.
So, as far as Delta State, we know this is the Lone Star Conference Football Festival. How do we get matched up? How did this game come about?
The conference sets all of this up, and they go across the board, and they invite those different teams. I know WT's playing Shadron State, and I'm familiar with them because they're from Nebraska. Mm-hmm. They're usually a really good team. Delta State's always a really good team. They're trying to pull in teams from different regions that are successful. Mm-hmm. It's going to test us. It's not going to look bad if you lose because they are good. But if we can win, we're making a statement.
So it's really a test of the conference, is this festival, really.
Yeah, you know, and there's one conference game over there that it's two conference game or two conference teams. Off the top of my head, I can't remember now.
It's a Midwestern and Tarleton.
That's right. So one of them do play an actual conference game, but everyone else is playing an out-of-conference school, and it's a way to change things up. You know, it's just one of those things that it's awesome for our fans to be able to go over there. It's awesome for...
It's a great atmosphere.
I mean, I'd like to walk out there and look up and see my ugly face on that huge video board. It's really neat. It's hopefully we get a good crowd over there. I think we will. We've sold quite a few tickets already. So with that huge alumni base in Dallas and stuff, I think we'll get a pretty good crowd there, and with all the excitement. So it should be fun. We've got they're giving me an on-field promotion during one of the timeouts.
That'll
be
awesome.
A lot of fun. I took an old idea and put a new twist on it, so I can't give out any secrets, but
we'll be there to see it in action.
It should be pretty neat if it goes to plan one way or another.
So can people get tickets at the game?
Yes.
Okay.
They can buy the tickets at the door the same price as they can buy them from us.
Oh, gotcha. Great.
So if you're not, you're not losing out by getting them early.
If you're farther away from Commerce, you can just go to the game and get your ticket there.
Yep. The biggest thing is just get there. Get there. Tailgating starts about 2.5 hours prior. I know it's tough on a Friday at 5. they could have helped us out a little there, but not every team can play the primetime game. But it should be fun if we can get some fans there.
Yeah. I think we're definitely relieved here, though, because we have Commerce Tigers game to cover. So if they were at the same time, primetime, I don't know which one would have won out
True.
So, but first talk about just like you said 5 p.m. Friday, that's our game time. What about if people can't make it to the game? If they want to watch it on TV or they want to listen to it on the radio, is there options for both of those?
Sure. It'll be on KTR.
Right.
Charlie and the gang will be on there doing the games. Off the top of my head, you had to ask about TV. I can't remember if the conference has Fox Sports Southwest doing it. I believe so.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's part of the package, since these are kind of marquee matchups, especially over there. But check out the website. I know Rand's got all that information up for you. All that information will be coming up more and more coming out this week. We're just hoping some more people show up. When you look out there, it is a huge stadium, and it was just like the idea we were talking about earlier. If you've only got a couple thousand there,
it looks like you got two.
Yeah.
It's
you might as well have
stadium.
Two.
Yeah.
So it's one of those that if we can push the needle and get a lot of people there, then it gets a little exciting. And I've seen that done before. When I was over at SFA, we played Sam Houston down at Reliant. Mm-hmm. And for most of those games, those conference games, you'd average around maybe 10,000. Well, you go there, and then you get 30,000 people, and all of a sudden, everyone was in that lower bowl.
It's
full,
really,
and it's an atmosphere, So it's one of those things that I know as a player, I never got to play on a stage like that. So it's really cool for our athletes.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about on the Friday show. Running out a little bit of time here because all sorts of scheduling going on, class times, everything else. So we'll be sure to see you on Friday. This is Cooper Welch.
Taylor Phelps.
And Joshua Dorgensen here as well. We will see you on Friday. This is KTR's Locker Room.